Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Houston, standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm the Huntington Bank bad boy, Jeremy. We are Jeremy and Joe. It is a Wednesday edition of Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. We have an action-packed show, jam-packed show. My guy who likes violence, Taylor McGarg, he's going to be joining us at 5 o'clock. Lots of college football, lots of NFL, lots of Houston Texans. Maybe mix in a mailbag if you guys behave. But let's just jump right into the ish, Joe. I don't like small talk. I don't like, hey, how's your day going? You doing good? Everything good with the fam? Everything, yeah, I don't know.
Everyone's great. Thanks for asking.
Everybody's great. College football rankings out yesterday. Your biggest beef, set, go.
I think the issue I have is just the stuff they're changing at the back end and how they're trying to protect themselves going forward. I don't like how Alabama moved in front of Notre Dame. I don't like how...
Why?
Because I don't think it makes
sense.
Because
you're a Notre Dame fan?
Yes, but I also think like the rankings in general have been wrong this entire time. I have no problem acknowledging that Miami should be in front of Notre Dame.
Wow.
I think on the eye test, I know you guys don't like that, but that's the words they use. Notre Dame has played better football than they did at the beginning of the season. But Miami beat them head-to-head. And the way they explained it the first time around was they separated these teams into quadrants. And they were in different quadrants. So that's why Miami was behind Notre Dame. They're now two spots apart from each other. They are now officially devaluing the regular season to a point where I have a problem with it. And it sucks because I want to see Notre Dame in the playoffs. I think they can make a run. I want to watch Texas A&M and Notre Dame play in the first round of the playoffs, which would be the matchup right now. But objectively, Miami should be in front of Notre Dame. They beat them head-to-head. What are we doing here? It makes no sense. Why is one-loss BYU that's in the Big 12 that has – I know they got smoked by Tech. Why are they behind Notre Dame?
They should be ahead of them.
And then the fact that the Hunter Yurecek said yesterday that teams can move when they're idle pisses me off because that's just – it's a dumb philosophy.
Why, though? The metrics move. Like, if we're talking about strength of schedule, strength of record, FPI, like all these stupid computer metrics, those move based on a single game being played.
But not between Miami and Notre Dame, because that's what I feel like it ultimately – that's what I feel like we're talking about here for the most part, is, like, I feel like on the final ranking, they might finally get it correct. And while they get it correct, that's right. But the fact that both Miami and Notre Dame are not playing – this weekend, if they jump Miami and Notre Dame, it's illogical because they've had Notre Dame in front the entire time. So I think the top is good. I think one through eight is fine. I prefer Notre Dame in front of Alabama personally, but I'm biased. I acknowledge that. And the other thing I would just say is I think Ole Miss should have dropped.
Real quick on Notre Dame. Like you're like, oh, they were playing better football most recently than they were at the start of the year. Were they? I mean, they play Miami and Texas A&M back-to-back. They closed with Boston College, Navy, Pitt, Syracuse, Stanford. I can't imagine why they're playing better football now. I can't imagine why in front of my eyes they now look better playing that poverty schedule at the end versus playing A&M and Miami. In fact, I would be like, huh, they lost to Miami on the road by 3. They lost at home to A&M by 1. I think that's more impressive than beating Syracuse 70-7.
Okay, I get it, but they are dominating in a way that is so impressive.
Yeah, why? Boston College, Navy, Pitt, Syracuse, Stanford. Boom. That's why.
Yeah, but they did a better job than Miami did against all those teams.
Sure.
Yeah, but you can't
but
use
why
that
are they playing better
Miami?
Now versus the beginning of the year? Because I think we know the answer. I think it's because of who they played.
I don't think so. I don't agree with that. I think they started a redshirt freshman quarterback. His first and second starts in college football.
Well, you could say that about every single team.
For
like
sure.
Marcell Reed's better now because he has 10 more games under his belt.
Absolutely.
Julian Sayin's better now because he has 10 more games under his belt. So, like, the arguments for a team playing better now than they were at the start of the year exist for every single team.
No, I totally get it, but I think Notre Dame is just playing better football right now than they were earlier in the season. I think they're the better team. They'd be favored.
Better team than who?
Miami and BYU.
Okay.
So
They might. I mean, losing if it's not a neutral field, like I think it's a coin flip game. They lost at Miami by 3.
Mm-hmm.
Like we always hear, the home field advantage is worth 3 points. Well, Miami won by 3 at home.
Mm-hmm.
Play them on a neutral field, coin flip game. I think.
Yeah, and your snapper dropped the extra point against Texas A&M. That's a fact.
Yeah, but it matters.
No, I know, but it's not like they didn't get smoked, right? Like they didn't get dominated.
Well, it was a 1 point game.
Yeah, so it's a good loss, as the committee would say.
Yeah, I guess so. The other thing that, like, the Alabama-Notre Dame conversation, I have no issue with Alabama jumping Notre Dame. I think Texas A&M losing, actually. They didn't say this yesterday, Hunter Yurecek, the spokesman for the committee. But if A&M loses and Notre Dame was hanging their hat on losing by 1 point against Texas A&M and then they get smoked by Texas, that should ding Notre Dame. I'm happy that it did.
No, I think that's fair, too. Like, you're based off your strength of schedule, and their strength of schedule dropped with Texas A&M losing.
Yeah, I would have BYU ahead of both of them, but I'm a Big 12 honk.
But
you all know that.
I'm fine with that, too. They have one loss.
Yes. What was your Ole Miss complaint?
I think they should have dropped. I know Charlie Weiss Jr. is back there to call plays, but they lost their head coach. And I think that should matter. They move up a spot. It's a different team without Lane Kiffin there.
Well, it's because A&M lost. Like, it's not so much that they jumped. I know they technically jumped up a spot, but they didn't jump any teams. A&M lost a game and they dropped.
Yeah, but they could have kept them. I think they could have kept them at 7. And I think they should have been. I think they should have stayed in the playoff. I don't think Ole Miss should have been knocked out of the playoff. But I think dropping them to 9 and saying, "Hey,
that's way too far."
I don't think
you
so.
Want to drop them to 9 under 2-loss Oklahoma, 2-loss Alabama?
They lost their coach. It's a different football team.
That's incredibly punitive to a football team that is, like, you know, putting the proof in the pudding. That is, and like, he doesn't even call plays.
He's still the head coach. It matters.
But, Joe, but what you're saying, though, is purely a guess. You're guessing that there's going to be a large drop-off because Lane Kiffin's – I mean, I don't think we could go by what we guess the team will be once this variable changes. I think what we should be basing on is only the resume, and Ole Miss has a top-six resume. I would argue they have a better resume than Oregon.
I would, too.
I would even bump them up a spot from where they are.
But they guess on all of it. It's all a guess.
It's not supposed to be.
I know.
It's supposed to be
–
supposed to be a resume.
And that's the thing, is like they're not consistent. It's a guess.
I agree with you there.
It's a guess that Notre Dame is better than Miami. It's a guess that Notre Dame's better than Miami.
They're not, I mean, that's not what they're deciding. They're not deciding who is better between the two. Like, that's not what they're putting together. I pulled up the principles of the committee today. Strength of schedule, head-to-head competition, which are kind of ignoring that, comparative outcomes of common opponents, other relevant factors such as unavailability of key players and coaches that may have affected a team's performance during the season or likely will affect its preseason, its postseason performance. How are they doing that between Notre Dame and Miami?
Because I think they're saying right now they're guessing that Notre Dame would beat Miami straight up right now.
I completely disagree.
Really?
Yeah, they're not saying that, though. Like, they didn't say that.
But they have the same amount of losses.
That's not one of their principles.
I know.
It's not one of the principles.
One of the principles is head-to-head.
It's not, though. But to Joe's point, like, if they're not doing that, why? What's the basis to have Notre Dame ahead of Miami?
Yeah.
There isn't a basis. There's no basis to have Notre Dame ahead of Miami unless you just think
there's
they're a better team.
Several, actually. Their FPI is better. Their strength of record is better, and their strength of schedule is better.
I mean, I mean, they played head to head. That was, I think, the first thing you mentioned in that list of qualifications.
No, it was not.
To me, my bad on the order. But to me, that's the ultimate
schedule. Actually,
that's the trump card.
Baylor's strength of schedule first. And strength of schedule favors Notre Dame over Miami.
Which I
and
think
look, I'm not
strange.
Saying Notre Dame should be better than Miami. I'm not saying that. But the committee is not telling us they think Notre Dame would beat Miami in a football game today. They're not at all saying that. That's what I'm trying to pick holes in.
Yeah.
I would have Miami ahead of Notre Dame because of the head-to-head. Like, I like things being settled on a football field, not in a, you know, some computer algorithm. And I especially don't like a bunch of people in a boardroom predicting and picking who they think is a better football team. Blah, 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 blah. But the reasons that they have Notre Dame ahead of Miami isn't because they think they would win a football game between the two if they played again today. Mm-hmm. They're saying because their FPI, their strength of record, and their strength of schedule is better.
Yeah, and well, it's interesting. Did you see the BCS Twitter account that still runs?
Yes.
That they put out, and the rankings were essentially the same.
They're a little different.
They're like they have the BCS has Notre Dame at 9.
Yeah, but the BCS
10.
Is 2/3 human element.
I know, but like it's still like it's like it feels like no matter what, people would be upset with the results that we would see in this
facts. And that's 100% true.
And that's why I'm with you officially. I know we're gonna get to it later in the show too, but expand this thing.
Why not? Why don't you want to expand this? I like 23 high-stake college football games more than I like 11 high-stakes college football. Oh, it's watering it down. No, it doesn't. It'll get down to 12 at some point anyway. Stop your crying.
Yeah, I think whether...
Stop crying like a little baby.
Whether it's play-in games or full-on expansion, it's time. They need it, and it's not going to be every single year. But I think this year specifically, there are teams who are ranked outside the top 10 who are going to miss the playoffs that have a real shot to win a national championship this year, and they're not even going to get to play in the tournament.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm here. I'm with you on that. Someone said it happened to Florida State when their quarterback went out.
But see, that's different. It's different.
Their quarterback matters more than a head coach matters.
That's also different because to Brian's point, I'm guessing here. I will agree with Brian there. There's a data point. Florida State played a football game and played like trash without their quarterback.
It was a bowl game where they didn't care and they were mad that they got boosted out of the playoffs. That means nothing.
He played a regular season game, didn't he?
And they went undefeated in the regular season.
Yeah, they were 13-0.
But he didn't play well, the quarterback. So I think they punished them because of how they played in that last game.
Yeah,
they still won, dumb. But they punished them for it because of how it looked.
Yeah, it's dumb. Anyways, I'm tired of Texas crying. This is probably the last day we're going to have this conversation. Oh, my goodness, we played a tough team and we lost to that tough team. That's the reason we're out. One, that's not accurate. The reason you're out is because you lost at Florida. If you would have lost to Ohio State, I disagree. So anyways, if you lose at Ohio State and then you beat Florida, just beat Florida. You can lose the other game and you're in the playoffs. So stop crying, Texas. And I also feel like we're having the conversation only halfway. And I think Sark has done a brilliant job of controlling the narrative here, which has allowed most people to only have the conversation halfway. How come we're not having the conversation of if you beat a really good non-conference opponent? Why are we having that part of the conversation? Because Sark controlled it. He did a brilliant job there. There's two teams that I will point to that have been benefited greatly, well, one team that's benefited greatly by playing a big-time non-con, and another team that would have been benefited greatly if they played and won a big-time non-con. The first one I'll point to is Texas A&M. Where would Texas A&M be if they lost to Notre Dame? Where would they be? They wouldn't have a single quality win. They wouldn't have a single top 25 victory. They would have one loss. They would have two losses because they would have lost to Notre Dame and then they lost to Texas. They would be on the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. The counterpoint to that would be, well, they just should have not scheduled Notre Dame. And then they would only have one loss. They beat Stephen F. Austin, first game of the year or whatever, instead of going to Notre Dame and winning. They play Stephen F. Austin, you get the victory there, you play out the rest of your games, one loss SEC, their only loss being Texas. Now, while I think the committee would still have a one loss SEC team in, Texas A&M's resume would stink. Texas A&M's resume would be worse than BYU. It would be worse than Notre Dame. And in this scenario, Notre Dame will only have one loss because Texas A&M didn't play them. It would be worse than Vanderbilt. It would be worse than Miami. They would have a worse strength of record, a worse strength of schedule, a worse FPI, and they wouldn't have a single top 25 victory. So that's the problem that I have with Texas playing. We just shouldn't have scheduled them because it greatly benefited their cross-state rival in the Texas A&M Fighting Aggies. The second SEC team that I will point to that would have been greatly benefited if they played, Ohio State. Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's a two-loss SEC team that is currently out of the playoffs. Do you know Vanderbilt's best non-conference victory?
It's not good.
It's at Virginia Tech. If you just wipe that one off the board and you give them a win at Ohio State, is Vanderbilt in the playoff?
Definitely.
Absolutely, 100%. Let's have the entire conversation. There is benefit to playing and facing one of the best non-conference matchups in the entire country. And Texas still could have taken care of their business after the fact that they lost that game. They only dropped down to number 7 in the AP. And they also had struggles along the way. So I'm tired of it. I don't want to hear it anymore. I think it's going to be put to bed now that it's all over, now that they accepted the Cheez-It Bowl for Texas.
Yeah, I just don't think a 3-loss team deserves to be in the playoffs. Like, I think it really just comes down to that. And if we change the way we did the scheduling, I think Sark is going in the wrong direction here. I get his point of saying, well, we're just going to take him off. Like, I expect Texas and Notre Dame to get canceled in the next week. You know, they're playing in like 2028 and 2029. It's going to get canceled.
But if Texas has a weak SEC schedule and they lose two SEC games, they're still going to miss.
I know.
Like, the Texas got pretty fortunate that they had a loaded SEC schedule.
Yeah.
Because it allowed them the opportunity to recover after losing with a game they didn't get punished that much at Ohio State. If they had Texas A&M's SEC schedule and they lost two games, they're not in.
Yeah, 100%. And I just think we're going in the wrong direction. Like, instead of scheduling weaker teams, everyone should be scheduling stronger teams so that way you could have two or three losses and make the playoffs. Like, instead of Vanderbilt playing Charleston Southern and Georgia State and Utah State, put a Big Ten team, a eventual Pac-12 team, like, it's going to be a lower conference, but, like, put real teams on your schedule, and then everyone can benefit from having losses.
Problem. Like, I agree with you. Like, college football is better if everyone's scheduling a game like Texas and Ohio State did week one of the season. But the problem is not everyone is. And like the statement you had a minute or two, Joe, go, like, you can't have three losses and gets in. As long as that's the mindset, and some teams are scheduling Ohio State and some are scheduling three or four cupcakes to fill out their non-conference schedule, and the schedules are unbalanced, then that's going to create the problem that a lot of Texas fans are complaining about.
100%. You're not wrong, Brian, but do you know what creates the biggest unbalance in schedule in all of college football?
The conference
schedules.
Yeah.
Conference schedules creates the biggest imbalance than anything else. Go look at Texas's SEC schedule and A&M's SEC schedule.
Yeah, completely different.
Unbalanced.
Look at Indiana last year.
Yeah, Indiana's who I was talking about as far as playing no one in non-conference. They've done it 2 years in a row. They played absolutely nobody.
Because they admitted it. Cignetti said, we're going to play an SEC schedule.
Which is so funny because a lot of SEC teams, you know, minus what Jeremy said about Vanderbilt, a lot of SEC teams do play that big non-conference game. But, obviously Indiana doesn't.
Yeah, the big problems, like, college football has problems. And it's the committee, like, their decision-making process. Their conferences are too large. They're imbalanced. They need to find a way to find an NFL model where if you're at the top, you play a tougher schedule. And then the committee has to reward people for playing tougher schedules. Like,
they did. They rewarded Texas A&M for a non-conference victory against Notre Dame.
For sure. But, like, it's just
their top bullet point isn't head-to-head. Their top bullet point is strength of schedule.
It is, but then that's where there is an argument for a team like Texas. Like, I know they lost to Florida, but it's that they played a tough schedule. And
yeah, that's why I think both things can be true with what Jeremy said. Like, obviously the Florida game, you could obviously say that's what knocked Texas out, and 100% true. But, like, let's just take they didn't play A&M schedule. Let's just take what they actually played in 2025. If you literally just pluck out Ohio State and replace it with Rice, Texas is in the playoff.
I think it's an anomaly, though, based on their schedule.
I'm not saying it's a subscription for what they should do in the future or if it's right or wrong, but if you purely look at
But
Texas
that's the flaw in Sark's argument. Like, I don't really disagree with you, but it's a flaw in Sark's argument where, one, he's not talking about the advantage of beating Ohio State, so he's only having half the conversation, and then on the other hand, he is not talking about how this schedule put him in position to even be in the conversation at all. If he had an average SEC schedule, he wouldn't have even made this argument.
True.
So, like, that's why it's kind of like the stars align for this once-every-decade argument that Sarkisian has. You can't have this argument every year because it's not going to happen every year.
Mm-hmm. They have to do a better job explaining what's going on. They have to do a better
They need to get rid of the humans, quite frankly.
Yes, I'm 100% with that.
I don't want them explaining what's going on. I want them to create an algorithm that we all agree on is the best wrong choice and then get out of the way.
Yeah, perfect. That's world. What we there need. Are no at-large teams. We just have a criteria set forth, and whoever meets that criteria is in.
All right, a couple more bullet points here. ACC, we'll get to that. I think the ACC screwed themselves. American Conference, because we give love to the Group of Five. Our conference title games on their way out. We'll get to a one blind ranking that I have a little bit later. The coaching carousel continues to churn. And also, we're going to play, is it a committee term or is it a stock market term? We'll do all of that. We'll get to the Texans. Are they a contender in the AFC? Our friend Taylor McGarg, he'll join us to get his thoughts on some college football at 5 o'clock. Maybe some mailbag if you guys behave too. 713-780-3776. You can find us on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN97.5, or on TikTok at ESPN975. Joe's at George George Radio. I'm at Jeremy J. Branham on TikTok. And then we're also on Twitter at ESPN975. Joe's at George George Radio. Brian's at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN975 and 97.9 HD2.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN975. Listening to Jeremy and Joe, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Happy National Signing Day for all those that celebrate. You know who the number one player in the country is, 24-7?
Keyshawn.
Henderson.
Henderson.
So Kooks, number Go one Kooks. Player in the country. Signed his NLI to the University of Houston. I'm looking at these top three guys in the 24-7 top recruits. And look, National Signing Day, it doesn't have as much luster as it used to with the transfer portal and everybody entering the portal and the roster turnover. I understand that. But it's crazy in an NIL era that two of the top three players in the country are going to Houston and Vanderbilt.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
The guy going to Vandy's a flip. I believe he was originally a Georgia recruit.
Look at this flex. Look at the producer jumping in there to drop a little knowledge flex. Hey, oh, he was committed to Georgia. Did you guys know that he was going to Georgia?
Flipped yesterday.
Yeah, Theo Von did it. Theo Von was the one that did it.
Yep.
Flipped him across to I guess it's not a state line, but flipped him over to Vandy. But yeah, happy National Signing Day to those that celebrate National Signing Day. So this argument here on the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. According to the preseason rankings, here is what A&M's week schedule was. Beat number 9, beat number 6, beat number 13, beat number 15. Texas A&M had top 25 victories when they played. When you beat a team, they fall. Quit the week schedule talk. Texas scheduled Ohio State 10 years ago. Quit moving the goalpost. I'm not sure there's an argument that I hate more than the one that this junkie just presented. Oh, well, whenever they beat them, they were ranked really high. Who cares?
Who cares?
It matters where you are at the end of the season. I couldn't care less that you beat the number 12 team and then they went on to go 4-8. That's not a quality victory. And in fact, did you know, and I'm pretty sure my numbers are right on this, that out of the AP preseason top 25, only 12 of them finished in the top 25? Mm-hmm. There's a better than 50-50 chance that if you were ranked in the preseason AP top 25 that you were going to miss the committee's top 25 as they voted yesterday. Let's go through the AP top 25. Texas number 1, good football team, lost 3 games. Penn State was number 2. Mm-hmm. They fired their coach 6 weeks later. Clemson was 4. LSU was 9, fired their coach. Arizona State was 11. They had injuries, finished nowhere near the top 25. Illinois was 12. South Carolina was 13. Kansas State had to force their head coach to retire. They were 17. Indiana, who's currently number 2, they were way down at 20. Ole Miss was 21. Iowa State, 22. Boise State, 25. I could not care less about beating a team where they're ranked when you beat them. It's about ultimately where they end up. We don't count top 25 wins based on what they were ranked when you played them. We count top 25s at the end of the final poll.
Yeah.
Hate that argument more than any other argument that exists in sports.
Because it's the most fundamental flaw of it is that you want to have your cake and eat it too. Because you want to then also count your ranked wins of teams that moved into the top 25 that weren't in there when the season started. So it really just does not work like that way. Like I would love for Notre Dame to get credit for beating the number 25 team in the country. Boise State stinks. They should never have been in the top 25. It's not how the world works. Like it's just not. But then, like, Notre Dame, for example, also shouldn't deserve credit for beating USC or Pitt because they weren't ranked week zero. So it's a totally flawed argument to use the week one rankings for a team when everyone knows with the transfer portal and recruits and guys going to the NFL, it doesn't matter. It does not matter at all.
I hate that argument so much, as you can tell. This junkie, a rational junkie. I'm a diehard Texas fan. I knew they wouldn't get in. This is on them. Should have won at Florida. And here's the thing. Here's what scheduling a really good non-conference opponent does. It allows you that if you lose at Florida, but you beat Ohio State, that you would have made it. Like, if Texas beats Ohio State at the start of the year, they lose to Florida. Is Texas one of the 12 teams in?
Yes.
Absolutely. So that's the problem that I have when we talk, well, they should have even scheduled them. Well, how about they schedule them, they beat them, and then it allows them the leeway that even if they lose a game that they shouldn't, that it's going to allow them to recover from that. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's the part that we don't talk about either. Like, you know, I have a problem only having half of the conversation, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I wish there was a lot. And I agree with Brian's point. I wish more teams would schedule really good non-conference games. That's why the automatic qualifier route that the Big Ten has thrown out there with, like, you know, if they expand, whatever. But that's why the automatic qualifier is something that intrigues me, is because who cares if you lose a non-conference game whenever you have three or four automatic qualifiers based on your conference standing?
Yeah.
That game nearly doesn't matter at all, and it will only matter if you're trying to boost your resume because you didn't finish in the top three or four of your conference, and you're trying to help your at-large bid, in which case you want those games because it could boost your resume up.
Yeah, and it just I think four to me still feels extreme. I like a 24-team playoff if we're going to go that path. I like three qualifiers from each conference, and the rest are at large with one non-power four team also making it in. But you know, that gets you 12 of your 24 teams from the Big 12, the ACC, the Big Ten, and the SEC. I think that's a good way to do it. And then
minimum,
and then 11 at large bids when you know, because I think it's one non-power four team. I don't think two deserve to get a spot. So I think 11.
Why not? I mean, two might get a spot this year.
They are. And the argument against that is, like, why does the ACC deserve three or four teams? But as you pointed out yesterday, it's cyclical. It's going to change every year of who the up and down conferences are going to be. But I think it's three. To me,
I hate
that's the
number. Arguments.
Why?
I hate arguing the stupid things that we argue in college football. Like, I think Clark Lee said it best yesterday, Vanny. Like, we're all trying to impress the committee by doing all this, like, blowouts, how you looked in the first half. Hunter Yurecek was talking about, like, a critical fourth down yesterday. How is that a bullet point in an argument? How is that a feather in your cap? Like, I cannot stand. That's why I'm getting closer and closer. Just like, let's automatic qualifier this bad boy like they do in every other single professional sports league. And then maybe you have still a few. You'd have to have a few at-larges. You can't completely get rid of them. Another junkie, Oklahoma likely in over Vanderbilt because they beat Michigan. It's a good point. That helped their cause a lot. Helps the strength of schedule. Helps the strength of record. That benefited them. People are going to be really mad when Texas gets in. Well, I got some news for you, 9900. Texas formally accepted their bid to the Cheez-It Bowl today.
They're not making it.
They've admitted their lot in life. Going to the Cheez-It Bowl. You gonna go, Brian?
Zero chance.
Why not? You're a front runner? You're a t-shirt fan?
No, I just don't care about bowls. You only care about the big ones? Environment.
Texas, Michigan, Citrus Bowl, December 31st. It's gonna be a banger.
Who's playing in that, you said?
Michigan.
Oh.
Yep. Joe is mad because Notre Dame will get left out if BYU loses. See, I disagree with you, Joe. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that if BYU loses, they're obviously going to drop a spot or two.
Yeah.
Miami's going to be right next to Notre Dame. They're supposed to look at head-to-head. I don't think they're going to flip Miami and Notre Dame.
See,
I think they're going to leave Notre Dame ahead of Miami.
I hope you're right because I want to see them in the playoff, but it's just I struggle with, like, if they're back to back, if they're 10 versus 11,
would be a joke if they left Notre Dame.
But I think it's a joke that they haven't already done it though.
No, I completely agree. But I mean, at least they would have like some salvageable, you know, like at least salvage it there at the end if you eventually get it right. It should have happened weeks ago. But
what if Alabama gets beat by 30 in the SEC championship game?
Now, see, last year the committee said they were not going to punish conference championship losers. This committee and Hunter Yurecek have not said that. Those words have not come out of their mouth. When they met with the media yesterday, it was not addressed. There is not a guarantee that they are not going to punish Alabama on Saturday.
See, if they, and I know they have a win against Georgia, at Georgia earlier this year, but if their three losses are at Florida State, who is not very good, home loss against Oklahoma, and then you lose on a neutral field to Georgia by 30? Like, I don't think that's a playoff team.
But didn't SMU lose by like 30 last year?
I don't think SMU was a playoff team last year. I thought the guy got wrong last year. I thought Alabama should have been in last year.
But they're doing that because they're not, the conferences are not ready to get rid of the conference championship games yet. And if Alabama gets left out because they lose by 30 in a game which they don't have to play in, then you have to get rid of the conference championship games.
Do you think they were moving towards that?
Yes.
They
should. I think it has to make sense.
Well, I think you have to.
C-E-N-T-S.
At some point, you have to if you expand the playoffs.
Yeah, it becomes too many games.
But just so much money vested in their conference championship games. Like, it would have to make financial sense for them to bang the conference championship games.
I think you'd have to reward the conference in some way with the expanded playoffs with more money for the Big Ten, the Big 12, the ACC, and the SEC. I think you have to.
I would like to get rid of them. I think it's a stupid data point, quite frankly. And I think the argument that I just presented, while I agree with what I said, why wouldn't I? I think it's a stupid data point to be like, well, this team qualified for this game, and then we're going to penalize them for their result in a game that they qualified for that other teams never had the opportunity to be penalized for. I think it's a stupid data point. I would get rid of the conference championship games. Although I do have an idea, which I'll tell you later. Branham's way of other way, because I have multiple ways of saving college football. ACC screwed themselves, Joe.
Yeah.
They screwed themselves because of this the way that the ACC tiebreaker is. It's head-to-head. You get multi-teams involved. It's like record versus common opponents. Why didn't they have the foresight to just in a multi-team tied for second, we're just going to pick the team that has the highest college football playoff ranking?
I don't know.
The American does that because they got it right.
I don't know. Like, why would you go to anything? I mean, when you look down these lists of how they determine tiebreakers, coin flips become in play at some point.
Now, the ACC on that list does have committee ranking before coin flip, but it's pretty far down the list. It needs to be second. It needs to be head-to-head, and then anything after head-to-head needs to be college football playoff ranking.
Yeah.
That way you can kind of skew it a little bit. That way you can kind of rig the game a little bit. Because if you do that, then Miami would be playing in its conference championship.
Yeah, they got it wrong. I don't know how they got it that wrong. Because, like, that should be the only tiebreaker, honestly.
Right. Well, I like head-to-head.
Oh, yeah, you're right. No, yeah, sorry, I forgot. Yeah, head-to-head and then that. But again, this is their fault because these conferences are way too damn big. Like, you have unbalanced schedules.
I don't disagree with you, Joe, but if you just had that one simple tiebreaker, you're looking at a Miami, ACC championship appearance this week.
You're right. You're right.
So, yes, they got conferences it wrong. Are too big, no doubt about it. I agree. But how do you not have the foresight? Like, hey, this could happen, guys. We could prevent this with this one little provision at the start of the year. That way we could have Miami, Virginia winners going to the playoff because Duke can screw them completely. I mean, Duke wins. It's a two group of five playoff. Duke's not jumping any of them.
No, we're going to see radical change. And that's where with the Notre Dame-Miami thing, I do wonder, like, there are people in that room that represent the ACC. And it's like, are we really going to have a year in which the ACC is not represented in the college football playoff if Duke wins the championship?
Yes.
So you put JMU.
We will.
I'm with you. Like, Miami should not move in front of Notre Dame at this point because the committee hasn't done it all year.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
They've got it wrong. But, like, is that the moment where you go, we cannot leave out the ACC, so we're going to buy
force. You can leave out the Notre Dame?
We are going to put – see, they're not going to do that for eyeballs. So, like,
who do you want to tick off more, the Notre Dame or the ACC?
ACC. Which, like, screw that conference.
I think so. I think they would protect Notre Dame over the ACC.
They should. And Notre Dame should leave the ACC immediately.
Oh, all the other sports?
Yes.
Yeah, come be in the Big 12. Come with us.
Join the MAC. Join
what?
A conference.
Shut your mouth.
Join a conference.
I do want to pat my back on the American because the American conference is guaranteed a spot in the group of five. You were trying to sell me a bill of goods on James Madison jumping one of these American conference schools. I said, no, Joe, the American deserves it because this is America. In the college football, that's the one thing that they got right, college football committee.
I love that. I mean, I do think it's great that we're going to see potentially two non-Power Four conferences.
I'm rooting for it.
It's going to be fun.
I root for chaos, baby. I root for chaos.
It was just, and for Duke to win, I'm rooting for Duke so hard.
So they're only a 3.5 point dog. This isn't like a miracle. This doesn't require a miracle. This isn't David versus Goliath. This is Duke is a 3.5 point dog. It's possible, baby. It's possible. All right, I got one blind ranking for you. I got the coaching carousel on the other side. And also, is this a college football playoff committee term or is it a stock market term? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
I want to make it very clear that he's Joe. I am Jeremy. We are Jeremy and Joe. 713-780-ESPN. A couple of coaching carousel churning things. Chris Kleiman retired, probably forced to retire. Colin Klein back to Kansas State, the A&M offensive coordinator. I like that hire, Joe.
I do too. I think it's a good hire.
Brian Hartline to USF. He was in the mix a little bit for Penn State, and he's going to USF. I love the hire for USF, but I wonder what in the world is happening with Penn State.
They're a disaster.
Do you see like their recruiting class? You know, National Signing Day today. Number one player in the country, 24/7, is going to Cullen, University of Houston. Now, it's not what it used to be. We understand a lot of teams operate out of the transfer portal, blah, 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 blah. Penn State has fallen out of the top 100 in recruiting class rankings.
I think they had 5 recruits.
Is that it? A lot flipped to Va-Tech.
Yeah, I think I saw 5, and they were ranked like 128 in the country.
It's bad, man. Talking about making the interim just the head coach now. Like, this is a disaster. We are a disaster.
I mean, it's the fact that they had the first opening and they're now the last team left standing. Like, I don't even know if they had a conversation with Brian Hartline.
So here's the one move I think they can make to save the day. Okay. And like there was, talks that they were going after Satake, and he's like, no, I'm staying at BYU because I like crumble cookies. That whole ordeal, right? They have one move left that can save the day. You want to guess who it is?
I got no idea.
Kalen DeBoer. It's the one move left that could save the day. And they're waiting until after the SEC title game to make the splash. Kalen DeBoer. As soon as that game goes final, Kalen DeBoer, the next head coach at Penn State. That's the only thing that could save the day. Other than that, this has been a complete and utter disaster in Unhappy Valley.
I mean, it'd be great for them, but I just don't see that happening.
There's some talks.
I know.
Some talks. Could Dable save the day?
I mean, I would probably just go to Joe Brady.
Could Joe Brady save the day?
Yeah.
Could any of those guys save the day?
And Dable would be fine.
That's not saving the day.
Yeah, it's not saving the day. Now,
DeBoer, only way that they save face.
I know it was a disaster.
Disaster.
In Las Vegas. But do you call Chip Kelly?
It's not terrible. I wouldn't hate it.
I at this point, I think they're better off doing what Stanford did. And that's just announcing a one-year interim coach.
No, it's not better. It's not better.
Not at Penn State.
No. It's not better.
I just don't know what else they do at this point.
Bring Bill O'Brien back.
You could just name the interim the head coach and just fire him in a year. It's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. Well, see, but the problem is
that... You can't go Frank Reich. You can't go interim coach for a year. Yeah. No, you can't do it.
This is where one man runs college football. And it seems very clear, based on the reporting, that Jimmy Sexton, the agent for all these college football coaches, including James Franklin, is pissed at Penn State. And he is basically stopping his elite clients from interviewing there.
Yeah, see, I love the story. I think it's a great story. I trust Todd McShay to a certain extent. I respect his opinion. But if Penn State's going to throw out $12 million to a client, the agent's going to be like, no, we're good.
Yeah, but then he's probably getting his guy's money elsewhere.
So Jeff Brohm's getting the same amount of money at Louisville that he would at Penn State?
I don't know, but Jeff Brohm's staying.
I know. It's weird, man. I love the theory. I just don't believe it. These agents are greedy. These agents want all the money in the world. If Penn State came to one of his clients and said, here you go, here's the biggest salary for a college football coach, what is Jimmy Sexton saying?
He's saying yes.
He's saying, where do I sign?
Yeah.
And like, look, they I mean, it's business, man. These agents are, it's business.
Yeah, and I you know, there's a, I mean, the way Adam Schefter's talking, like, the Penn State might not be the last program to hire a coach this year in college football.
Because it'll be Alabama, because they're going to take Kalen DeBoer.
I think it might be Notre Dame.
Where would Freeman go? The NFL?
Yeah.
He's not an NFL guy.
I know, but people are saying that's what the Giants want.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
I hope he doesn't do it.
Yeah, I don't think he will.
I'll be really upset if he does that.
Yeah, I'd be stunned. I'd be surprised. What would they do? Brian Kelly? He's on the market. They could bring him home. What are they saying in South Bend? Bring Brian home?
They would promote.
Bring back the family?
They would promote Denbrock or my worst nightmare, Chris Ash.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no one likes Chris Ash.
No, he sucks.
They don't trust Chris Ash. All right. Is this a college football committee term, Joe and Brian, or is this a stock market term?
Okay.
You guys are ready for this? Because I hate, you know me, I cannot stand the stupid things that we argue about in college football. Oh, this, well, they looked really good in the first half. Auburn's a tough place to play. Did you see that one fourth down play? That's a reason they should have jumped Notre Dame. All these things are so very stupid. So is this a college football playoff committee term or a stock market term or both? I'll give you the wild card ahead of time. It can be both. It's college football playoff committee, stock market term, or both. All right, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
S-O-S. Is it a committee term, a stock market term, or both?
Committee.
Committee.
Both! S-O-S, of course, means strength of schedule, but it is also the stock symbol for S-O-S Limited.
Okay.
The more you know. All right, next one for you boys. FPI. College football playoff committee, stock market term, or both?
College.
College.
Both! FPI is the football power index and the stock symbol for Farmland Partners. Always have been a big fan of Farmland Partners. All right, next one up for you boys. Coming up next, college football committee term, stock market term, or both? HTH.
Stock.
Both.
Both! HTH, of course, means head-to-head, Joe. How did you miss that? And it also is the stock symbol for Hilltop Holdings.
Of course. Everyone,
I should buy stock in all of these. All right, next one for you guys. Coming up next, SOR, committee term, stock market term, or both?
Both.
Both.
No, it's a college football term only.
Damn it.
Of course, it means strength of record. Next one, ET.
Stock.
Stock.
Both.
Damn it.
I-Test, ET, and also Energy Transfer LP.
Hold on. ET's an official, as an I-Test, an official.
What's the acronym for I-Test, Brian?
That feels E-T. Like a stretch.
Moving on.
Flag on the play. Challenge flag.
Nope.
Throw it.
ET is not an official college football committee term.
Yeah, they say I test all the time. Yeah, if you guys want to say the long word, that's fine by you.
They don't
I like
say
to take
ET
the shortcut.
Phone home, bro.
No, unless they put on a website somewhere or use the phrase ET, that does not count.
You guys are nerds and don't talk in acronyms. That's what all the cool guys are doing. Last one for you guys. SRI. Committee term or stock market term or both?
Both.
Football.
No, both of you are wrong. It's only a stock market term. SRI.
Dude, I don't think I got any right.
Yeah, you got a few.
No, I don't think you got any right.
I don't think I got any right.
No, he didn't get a single one right, I don't think.
Like, let me tell you. Things I don't know about, stock market.
SRI, by the way, is the stock symbol for Stone Ridge Incorporated.
Of course.
The more you know. Yeah, and if you guys want to put any money in the Branham Hudge Fund, send it my way. I'll send you my Venmo. Jeremy-Branham.
Your Hudge
my
Fund?
Venmo. Jeremy-Branham. What did I say?
Hudge.
Yeah,
Hudge.
You said Hudge Fund.
It's not real. It's a Ponzi scheme is what it is. But you can get involved. My Venmo, Jeremy-Branham. Don't expect any money back. All right, 713-780-3776. The Texans are a contender again in the AFC. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You should be a contender at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Look what they got going on this weekend at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. This could be you. They got a winter wonderland going on both Friday and Saturday. Great time. Beautiful outdoors out there, too, so you're really getting to soak it all in out at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. They got a bonfire and s'mores Friday night, and they got an outdoor movie for everybody on Friday night, too, so you're really getting all the entertainment value. Saturday, they take care of the kiddos. Kids craft, kids activity. They got bingo, little live music. This Saturday it features Jesse Loving, a family movie again on Saturday. And, of course, they love college football out at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. You're going to be watching your college football with a cold beer over at Swampers. So get rid of the stress and anxiety that's causing you all of the turmoil in your life. Get rid of the out of the rat race. Escape it all and get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. It's just 90 minutes from Houston. You're going to escape the city in no time. You're going to be there in no time. You're going to be enjoying the open green spaces in an hour and a half. The wildlife, beautiful nature out there. Some of the best fishing in Texas. The Two Creeks alongside their property. The big catch and release pond in the middle of their property. Hike on their 92 acres of property. Do some kayak, and they have some pickleball courts out there if that's your jam. If you like to play some pickleball, they got that for you, and it's only 90 minutes away. You're there in an hour and a half. They got the glamping. They have the cabins. They have the treehouse. Pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for everybody. And from now through February, you can get 40% off all cabin rentals, 20% off nightly RV stays with their 40-20 discount. Perfect savings for you. Also, find them on social media at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. They're always doing some giveaways. You may even win a free stay. But book your stay now. You're going to love it. TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. That's TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com.
ESPN 97.5.
This is Jeremy and Joe, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. The Junkies, we're going to talk Texans here at the top of the hour. They want to talk football. And who are we to change the subject when our Junkies want us to talk football? This Junkie, great segment guy with the stock symbols and the committee terms, had me laughing, almost drove my pink Toyota Prius off the road. You're welcome, 8327. We're here to entertain. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Pete, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up?
Hey, guys, how y'all doing?
Great.
Hey, on this whole college football thing, you know, this has been dragging on for years, ever since the days of the AP and the coaches poll determining champions to your BCS system and now the 12-team playoff. You know, even with expansion, whether it's 16 teams or, hell, they'll go to 64 teams like basketball, there'll always be that one school that's going to be upset thinking that we should be in. You know, and as far as Texas is concerned, hey, great job, guys. You beat my Aggies. But if you'd not taken a huge help in a fried gator, you'd be 10-2 right now, and there wouldn't be a discussion on whether or not you were in, because you would be. So that's my thought. And, hey, UT, all I can say is cheese it. I'm out.
Cheese it.
Yeah, there always is going to be, unless you go with a straight computer analytical model, and it's just straight numbers, no humans, there's always going to be complaints. There's always going
to. Yeah, there will be, but they're just going to, you know, be a little bit irrelevant if we're talking about our team 25 and 26.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, and even like last year, I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear it about these teams that all those teams that had three losses last year, about why they should get in versus others. And like, I think Texas's argument this year is stronger, but I still feel the same way. But it's just, until we remove the people out of it, there's always going to be complaints. And even when we go to a computer model at some point, they're going to find a way to complain. They're going to say, oh, we have to adjust this with our schedule, or no one's going to want. Like, if strength of schedule in this computer model becomes super important, they'll say, well, no one wants to play us because we're so good normally. Like, there's always going to be complaints.
Oh, no doubt. You're never going to get rid of the complaint. They're just going to fall on deaf ears the further and further you go down.
Yeah.
Like, whenever you used to have the national championship game, like, okay, well, now you're talking about team 3, 4, 5 that could legitimately win it all. You make the move to, you know, 8 teams or whatever. Now you're talking about 9 and 10. You're currently at 12 teams. You're talking about team 13 and 14. And the more and more you go further and further along, the least likely a chance the team can win the national title. Mm-hmm. Like, do I think Texas can win the national title? If they got really, really hot. But still, no, I don't think so. Do I think that BYU can? No. Do I think Notre Dame can? No. Do I think Miami can? No. Do I think Vanderbilt can? No. Do I want to see those teams battle it out, though, and have a shot? Absolutely, I do. Because I like to be entertained. I like good football. I like top 25 football. That's why I would be in favor of an expansion to 24.
I'm surprised you said no to all those teams, because I really think after Ohio State, it's a total crapshoot right now.
Well, can any of those teams beat Ohio State?
I mean, no.
Then you don't think they can win a national championship.
Yeah, but I think that's – you still have to win four games to get there, right? Or three games for Ohio State. So, they could get tripped up still at some point. And maybe we'll feel differently after Saturday. But because there's only one team, I think a lot of those teams could win a national championship.
Look, I'm not sure there's a great team in college football.
Yeah, because Ohio State really hasn't been tested that much, to be honest with you.
Look, I mean, we're talking, and I know it's first week of the year. They beat Texas 14-7.
Yeah.
Like, close game against a team that's on the bubble out. Like, they struggled a little bit against Michigan early in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. Like, their defense looked really dominant. Their offense, we'll see. But no, I don't think, like, I don't know if we have a great team in college football.
No, and for what we it's might, because I don't think we're going to see, like, these. I mean, Ohio State can prove this wrong, go back to back in this new era. But with the transfer portal, with NIL, I think it's as balanced college football in a really good way. And that's where I do think the expansion can make some sense, where in the old model, pre-NIL, the top teams were all so clear, and it was the same every year. It was like, no one's going to beat Alabama or Georgia unless they play each other or Clemson. Like, and now that, to me, is all gone. So now that's why I'm more open.
Yeah, the balance and the parity, ironically, with NIL and transfer portal has kind of flattened it out. Like, you're still going to have your teams that are way up here and their peaks are up here, but you have fewer of those teams, and for the most part, it's more flat.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of plateaued. So that's why another reason I'd be in favor of 24 teams. And look, would team 25, 26, and 27 still be arguing that they didn't get in ahead of team 24? Of course they would.
But I will not have these conversations.
I mean, we'll have the conversation.
I don't know. I think
we'll have them.
I don't want to argue for
people love
team
to argue
25.
Though, Joe.
Yeah, but like, I'm not arguing for team 25.
People love to argue, but you see my point though, that the gravity gets lost. Like, how meaningful it is gets lost. Like, hey, we can have an argument about team 12, 13, 14. We're still going to have an argument about team 24, 25, 26. But now it's more, you could have taken care of your business,
especially if there's four auto bids from a conference.
Right. That's the thing. That's why the AQ is like, it matters a bit. Like, okay, you can sit here and argue about your at-large bid, but you totally controlled your own destiny, even within your league. This whole like, oh, we don't have to play these tough non-conferences. It wouldn't matter with an automatic qualifier, because they only take your standings within the league. And if you have three or four automatic qualifiers per league, then it does not matter what you do in non-con. You control your own destiny three or fourfold, depending on how many AQs you have in your league. Junkie suggests Bill O'Brien to Penn State. That was Brian that said that earlier, too, huh?
They hated him there.
Did they? He won National Coach of the Year.
Yeah, you always come in here with these down questions.
They hated him. He won National Coach of the Year.
They didn't like him.
It's kind of a fake national coach. If
yes.
If it wasn't with all the drama that was going on in Happy Valley, he wouldn't have been a national coach.
Yeah, because he won Coach of the Year, I think, what was it, 7-5 record that year?
7-5, 8-4, something like that. Mm-hmm. Might have been 8-4, but either way. Like,
yeah, there's no way he wins, to your point.
No.
7-5 or 8-4, it doesn't matter either way. There's no way that wins Coach of the Year without the drama.
Mike Tomlin to Penn State. Ben Roethlisberger called for that. Tyler and Conroe, I might be dumb, but why would DeBoer leave Bama to get Penn State? The thought was that he could have done it if they lost to Auburn. That was out there, that if they lost to Auburn, he would have left after the Iron Bowl. Why would he do that? Because of the pressure at Alabama. Well, there's tons of pressure at Penn State, too. They literally fired James Franklin. Yeah, that's a good counterpoint. But
no.
There are some rumblings that he's been like pretty unhappy being the guy that replaced Saban, and the extreme expectations there are in Alabama post-Nick Saban.
So then did they just bring Saban back?
I don't know what they would do. I mean, I don't think Saban wants to coach. Lane Kiffin would leave Baton Rouge.
That would be awesome. If
he'd be like, see you guys. Enjoy my time here.
Pull the Bill Belichick and just like never coach. That would be incredible.
I'm going to Bama instead. There was some thought that Lane Kiffin waited until after the Iron Bowl, not to see if Ole Miss was going to play in the SEC championship, but to see if DeBoer would have left Alabama and then Kiffin would have went to Bama. So that was out there. Why is it Bama is getting all this credit? No one's looking at the beatdown Florida State put on them in week one. We talked about it earlier. I think it's a great point, Junkie. I think it's a great point. Why are we overlooking Bama getting crushed by Florida State? That's why I think that if Alabama gets blown out in the SEC championship game, they should be out.
Mm-hmm.
They should be out of it. Like, they're picking the best teams that have chances of beating the best teams, right? If Alabama tells you we're going to get smoked in a neutral field by 30 to Georgia, you couple that with the Florida State loss, hit the road. You only DeBoer, beat South, go to Unhappy Valley.
You only beat South Carolina by 7. You only beat Auburn by 7.
Yeah, get on out of here.
I'd be fine with that.
I think they should, yeah, because Notre Dame gets in.
Yep.
If they get blown out, I am in support of Bama being left out. I want that to happen. All right, 713-780-3776. We'll switch up to the Texans. The Texans are a contender again in the AFC. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.